Pastor Ray Bentley says happiness is never found in those things we think we want.
The truth is, everything we need for life and happiness is given to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through our relationship with Christ, standing before the heart of our Father, knowing Him, walking with Him, trusting Him for everything. And if you can't be happy with the 99.9%, you will never be happy with the 0.1%.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. John D. Rockefeller was at one time the world's richest man. A reporter asked him, "How much money is enough?" His answer, "Just a little bit more." When we see how much we have, spiritually and otherwise, do we focus on what we don't have? Today, Pastor Ray helps us refocus and reevaluate.
Deuteronomy chapter 29, we're going to look at some verses in Deuteronomy chapters 29 and 30. The title of the message, you'll note, is actually a part two message. It was called The Recipe for Happiness. Here's the first of what I call the life lessons from the scriptures we're going to start going through. Number one, we must recognize that all our lives are standing before the Lord. And we'll explain that after I read this to you. So back to Deuteronomy chapter 29, beginning in verse 10. So here, Moses has gathered the millennials of ancient Egypt because their parents' generation had perished in the wilderness 40 years. Now it's the young people that are going to actually go crossing the Jordan River and possess the promised land that God had made many generations earlier to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this is Moses' encouragement, his exhortation, his final speech before they go into the promised land. And of course, he himself will not be going with them. But here's what he says in chapter 29, verse 10. He says, "All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and of your tribes, and your elders and your officers, and all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives. Also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So Moses has gathered 2.1 million or so young Jewish generation, and he is saying, "You are in the presence of God, and I am exhorting you, I am encouraging you that you are in a covenant relationship with the Creator of the universe." So Moses is being a spiritual father. He is the earthly mouthpiece and representative of the heart of the Heavenly Father. And he's wanting to tell all of this next generation, guys, this is for real. This is serious. You are the beneficiaries and the inheritors of many generations who have preceded you, who have made many sacrifices along the way and suffered many trials, 400 years of slavery, 40 years in the wilderness. You're the last link in a very long chain. So take it seriously. He goes, you need to know your history. You need to appreciate the ground upon which you stand. So I want to take this moment to tell all of you. Let's take, that was the story then, now we bring it to today. I have a calling from our Father in heaven, and as I stand before you, I want to declare to all of you that we together one day will stand before the living God Almighty. We will give an account for our lives, the choices that we make, how we choose to use our gifts and our talents and our abilities, whether we are selfish or self-absorbed, or whether we were giving, whether we were following the heart of the Father. And so as intentionally now as I, as your shepherd, just want to bring that message to you, I want to say to all of you who have children, the next generation, that there is a way and a moment and a time unique to all of you where you have to communicate, why are you a Christian? How real is your faith? And then to be able to tell your children, no, look, this is real. Because I know all of you have a testimony. And I love to hear the powerful, dramatic stories of how God and the Holy Spirit set them up. And they had this radical, dramatic, eye-opening, life-changing experience of salvation, of deliverance. And God does it in such a variety of ways. Well, I want to say to you, as parents, just because you had a personal, religious, spiritual, you know, born-again experience, and now you have a Christian family that maybe goes to church or whatever, it's not automatic that your kids have the same experience. It has to be intentional, and you know, at some point and in some way, you have to communicate to them, just like Moses, as a spiritual father to his children, said, you stand before the Lord today. You are in covenant relationship. And as you live the rest of your lives in the land that God promised, know that, appreciate it, be intentional about it. And so I encourage you to share with your children, because it's not automatic that just because you know the Lord that your children will. They themselves are free moral agents. They may or they may not. That's what's always so risky and amazing about being made in the image and after the likeness of God. They have a, how many of you know your children have a will? And sometimes they're not willing to go along with the, you know, the deal. So we have to be intentional about who we are, where we're going, and why we are Christians and what it really means. It's got to be legitimate, genuine, and real within your own life that they can see it. Okay, number two. The heart of the Father. What is the heart of the Father? And this is something that I want to, you know, so here I am at this stage of my walk and life and with the church, and I'm praying for you, and I'm wanting to hear, Father, what is your heart for your children today? The heart of the Father is crying out to his children. This is the heart of God. Choose life. Now, this comes from Moses' message. Now, I'm going to bring you to the heart of his message, and that's in chapter 30. So go with me to chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. He says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. In other words, that you might be fruitful. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. So I love this. He's saying, choose life. You have a will. He goes, but I, as your spiritual, you know, he's a prophet. Moses was kind of their priest, and for all intents and purposes, like a king. He says, I am exhorting you and encouraging you with all of my life experience, and I talk to God face to face. Follow the Lord, cling to the Lord, and choose life. By choosing to walk with God, you are choosing life. Choose life. He goes on, verse 17, he says, but if your heart turns away, so he's warning them, if you don't listen to me, if you do your own thing, and you don't hear, and you're drawn away, and you worship other gods, and you serve them, I announce you to you today, you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. The rocks, the mountains, the sky, and the clouds are watching you. You stand before God today. You're in covenant with him today against you. So that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, he says it again, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give it to them." Moses makes it very clear. It's not a difficult choice. Life or death. How many of you would honestly say you prefer life to death? Amen. Blessing to cursing. Those are the only two choices. But let's go on to the next life lesson. We must choose. So here's a choice. Okay, I'm going to choose God. I want to be blessed. Choosing life. We must choose to trust that our Heavenly Father has given to us everything for our happiness. Now, this is an interesting subject. The keys to happiness. When you look at the Bible and where we are in the story with, you know, Moses, children of Israel, ready to go into the promised land, where else in, you know, going back to the beginning, where else was there a choice for humanity literally between life and death? It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The key to happiness is in understanding why did humanity eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Because that sin had devastating consequences. So in order to do that, we got to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. So turn in your Bible back to Genesis chapter 1. And beginning in verse 29, God said, "See, I have given you every herb," underline the word every, "that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth." And to Adam and Eve, he said, "I have given you every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food," everyone. "Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. And then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God gave everything to Adam and Eve in the garden to enjoy. They had everything they needed for life and happiness. Right? Well, and yet the devil comes, and with the voice of the serpent, he points them, "Wait a minute, what about that tree over there? What's that called? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil." The 0.1%. He said, "You can't have that." Here's that what that little whispering, snaky little serpent tongue will poison all of your life with. He'll take your eyes off of all the good things and all the blessings and the 99.9% over here. And he says, "I don't want you to look at all that. Just look at what God said you can't have." And what the devil says is, "You will never be happy with the 99.9% until you have the 0.1%. Now, here's what I want to tell you. It's a lie. Because the truth is, listen to this. If you can't be happy with the 99.9% of what God has given and said and blessed you with, you will never be happy even if you get the 0.1%, which was exactly what experience happened with Adam and Eve. Does that make sense? Do you see what we're looking at here? Do you know someone that is a miserable person? They're not a happy person. They're a Scrooge-y little person. They're never happy. And you start, you know them, they're a friend, you work with them, they're a neighbor, they're your family. "Why aren't you happy?" "Cause." "Why?" "Gosh." "What?" I don't have this." Their whole mental, visual, emotional focus is not on the 99.9%, but it's, "I need this, and I will never be happy if I don't have this." Whatever it is, I don't know. Some, to you, it may be silly, but they go, I'm not respected at work, and I got to have this respect, and I need promotion, and if I get this, and then after maybe months or years sometimes complaining, that, and then finally they get it. They get the promotion. They get what they wanted. Are they happy? No. Why? You say, well, but you wanted all these years. Yeah, I know, but. And then it's another 0.1% that just flies. It's a new thing. And now they'll never be. And then if they get that, then they're not happy. It's never enough, always a little bit more. It's the, and so really, that 0.1% is hell. It is a never-ending where you never are happy. You are never satisfied because you never get there. And even when you get it, it doesn't do what you thought it would, and it just goes on forever into isolation, loneliness, emptiness, and darkness. That's why the Father was saying it was a test. It was a simple test. Trust me. Because more important than just the act of taking whatever that fruit was and eating it was the act of, I will never be happy until I have that. I want you to know this. If you can't be happy with a 99.9% of everything God has given, everything, what the truth is, everything we need for life and happiness is given to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through our relationship with Christ, with our walk, standing before the heart of our Father, knowing Him, walking with Him, trusting Him for everything. And everything we need is there. And if you can't be happy with the 99.9%, you will never be happy with the 0.1%. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. Hallelujah. So, today we are blessed. Today we have great abundance. I want you to read with me 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 is in your notes. Let's read this out loud. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. There is a profound relationship between happiness and goodness. God surrounded Adam and Eve with good things. And the happiness comes when we accept the 99.9% of all that God has given to us, the goodness He has surrounded our lives with. But there is a step in between goodness and happiness. And that's the step that Adam and Eve failed, but that God wants us to gain, which is really our salvation. That's the next life lesson. Recognizing God has given me everything should create a heart of gratitude. When you recognize that what you have is good, you can't help but rejoice, because happiness comes from realizing that my Father will never withhold anything good for me. I love Psalm 107, verse 1. Let's read this out loud together. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. That's why I always say here, God is good. All the time, He is good. And God wants to prove that to you. He states it, He declares it, He goes, that's my nature, that's who I am. I'm God, and God is good. But I will prove it to you if you'll trust me, if you'll walk with me, if you'll believe that my word is giving you the 99.9%, not only of this life, but for all of eternity. But do not be deceived by thinking, well, why can't I have, you know, whatever the 0.1% is over here that will never satisfy, leads to emptiness, loneliness, darkness, selfishness, narcissism. You're over when you do that. That's why we say God is good all the time God is good. And so give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. And then finally, the last life lesson is this. The Holy Spirit, if you're saved, if you've accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, literally, not merely figuratively, but literally, the Holy Spirit has come inside of you. And the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Now, I want to say, I understand that, look, we're still, we're in the wilderness, and we are in a fallen world, and it's a broken world. And I know there may be reasons that you're struggling. And you're saying, well, I'm not very happy right now. I'm battling an illness. I'm battling a relationship. I'm battling at work. And I'm tired and I'm weary and I don't feel all happy or whatever. There is a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness can come from circumstances. But joy is a happiness that comes from the Holy Spirit. And the nature of the Holy Spirit is to be joyful. So even though you don't have the joy, it's in you. So the thing is, how do I let the joy out so that I can enter into its stream and experience it? And here's how. When by obedience, you begin to show gratitude and thankfulness and intentionally begin counting all your blessings and every good thing in the 99.9% that God has given to you. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you that I know you. Thank you that I'm saved. Thank you that you've delivered me. And you just start focusing on all the good things of God. You may not feel it, but as you're obedient to the Lord, the Holy Spirit attaches himself to your obedience. And all of a sudden, it's like a spring that begins bubbling up. It comes from deep within. And I'm telling you, when you intentionally choose to walk in thankfulness and gratitude out of obedience, even when you don't feel happy, the joy of the Lord will start arising within your heart. You can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit within you as he rises up within you. Classic example, Paul the Apostle, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, last scripture. Let's read it out loud together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Where did Paul write those words? In jail. He was in prison after being beaten for simply sharing about Jesus. He and Silas had been beaten and they're in jail. And yet, they were worshiping the Lord. They were thanking the Lord. Now, they were hurting. They had pain, cuts, bruises, swellings. But they said, thank you, Lord. Because there were some who accepted you, some who listened to you. We planted some seeds, and they rejoiced for the obedience and the opportunity to share Christ. And God was so pleased with these two that it was joy that came from within their hearts. He shook the ground, and the chains broke off of them. It's a powerful story in the book of Acts. And so I love it. Paul the Apostle is not saying, you know, that we might have circumstances that we can't rejoice in those, but we can always rejoice in the Lord. And when we obey and are obedient to rejoice in the Lord, then we release the Holy Spirit and we begin to feel and experience his joy within us. Amen?
Pastor Ray Bentley, with great perspective today from our study series in the book of Deuteronomy, here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called The Recipe for Happiness, Part 2. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're so pleased to make available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I think many Christians read through the mentions of the Jewish feasts in the Bible in the same way they read those long lists of begats. You know, they just skim through them. Well, the feasts are a part of Jewish history and tradition that have little or nothing to do with New Testament Christianity, or so they say. But you say otherwise in this book, don't you?
Well, yes. This is something, it's not unique just to us, but it's something literally happening around the world. The church is starting to relook at the feasts of the Lord. And we've done a good job at looking at the feasts of the first coming from Passover to Pentecost. But now the church is awakening that there's three more feasts in the fall, from trumpets to tabernacles, that point to the return of Jesus Christ. And they're not called the feasts of the Jews, though they were originally. They're called the feasts of the Lord. Hmm. And so all seven, Dave, point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So these feasts are for us. And I think it's time to take a fresh look at their meaning and their purpose.
All right, and I know you do that in your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's even more to help us understand the times in which we live. The Holy Land Key is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.